Translation. One who does not understand the constitutional position of the body and the soul becomes too attached to the bodily concept of life. Consequently, because of attachment to the body and its byproducts, he feels affected by union with and separation from his family, society, and nation. As long as this continues, one continues his material life. Brackets, otherwise one is liberated. Brackets. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6, Svaipungsa parodharmo jato bhaktiradhoksaje ahoitaki apratihita dhyayatma suprasidati. The word dharma means engagement. Don't know if I've heard that before. One who is engaged in the service of the Lord, yato bhaktiradhoksaje, without impediment and without cessation, is understood to be situated in his original spiritual status. When one is promoted to this status, one is always happy in transcendental bliss. Otherwise, as long as one is in the bodily concept of life, one must suffer material conditions, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshana. The body is subject to its own principles of birth, death, old age, and disease. But one who is situated in spiritual life, yato bhaktirat hoksaje, has no birth, no death, no old age, and no disease. One may argue that we may see a person who is spiritually engaged 24 hours a day, but is still suffering from disease. In fact, however, he is neither suffering nor diseased. Otherwise, he could not be engaged 24 hours a day in spiritual activities. The example may be given in this connection that sometimes dirty foam or garbage is seen floating on the water of the Ganges. This is called Niradharma, a function of the water. But one who goes to the Ganges does not mind the foam and dirty things floating on the water. With his hand, he pushes away such nasty things, bathes in the Ganges, and gains the beneficial results. Therefore, one who is situated in the spiritual status of life is unaffected by foam and garbage or any superficial dirty things. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Iha jasya hariyasya dasye karmana manasa gira nikilas papibastasu jivan mukta sauchati. A person acting in the service of Krishna with his body, mind, words is a liberated person, even within this material world. Therefore, one is forbidden to regard the guru as an ordinary human being. Gurur namatir narakisa. The spiritual master as acharya is always situated in the spiritual status of life. Birth, death, old age, and disease do not affect him. According to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, therefore, after the disappearance of an acharya, his body is never burnt to ashes, for it is a spiritual body. The spiritual body is always unaffected by material conditions. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Vainmaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Once again, the translation. One who does not understand the constitutional position of the body and the soul becomes too attached to the bodily concept of life. Consequently, because of attachment to the body and its byproducts, he feels affected by union with and separation from his family, society, and nation. As long as this continues, one continues his material life, otherwise one is liberated. Once again, here in the 10th canto, and Srila Prabhupada this is in Prabhupada's last year with us, so this is going on to 1977, Bhuvaneshwar. In February, Prabhupada completed the 9th canto and started the 10th, and then up until November, Srila Prabhupada decreased the amount as his sickness increased. He decreased the amount of translation that he was doing and commentary, but still he continued to do it. So as Prabhupada here says, Nija Dharma. Nija means your own Swadharma. Someone has their own Dharma. The nature of water is by Indra's grace. You know that Indra shared out some of his sinful activities in four different directions. One of them was in water, which I guess prior to that time, water didn't carry the type of foam that it does now. It doesn't gather foam. And you see that, especially if you're going to the Jamuna around Delhi, or you see the Ganges. And doesn't seem to be a new phenomenon, because Rupa Goswami says, Gangambasu Budbunasvi Nasvarkar, that even then he's talking about the bubbles, foam, and mud in the Ganges. So externally, the Nija Dharma of his body is birth, death, old age, disease. And it happens. Not only does it happen to living entities, even Krishna, in a sense, conforms to the dynamics of the material world. He comes at a certain point, he leaves at a certain point, and when he even leaves behind the body for different purposes. And one of them is just for that, so that we're made aware that sometimes devotees have this very euphoric idea of what spiritual life means. You're never going to take up Krishna consciousness. Why do I get sick? Why am I getting old? Why did I have a car accident? Why are my children sick? But because you're Krishna conscious doesn't mean that these things don't happen. They happen, and they continue to happen. But they should happen in a different way, especially if some is spiritually situated. But the beginning starts here. So he says, anevam bidha, at least one should have knowledge. At least one should have knowledge that he's not this body. And that's a commodity that, class goes to 8:30. And that's a commodity that devotees easily have accessible, because right at the very beginning of Krishna consciousness, right in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, first thing, Krishna is talking about natvaiva aham jatu nasam dehi nosmin jata dehi, making a very clear distinction between the body and the soul as a constitutional statement. You don't have this. You can't even move forward. You can't even advance to further stages of life. And although realization of being this body and realization of not being this body and knowledge of not being this body are two different things. So here, you could say Srila Prabhupada here defines what is realization of this body, that even though all of these things are going on, one is not disturbed by them. Dhiras tatra namuyati. Krishna also uses this word dhira. They're happening. Pain is there. But the pain doesn't affect my ability to think about Krishna. I don't know if you've experienced pain. Pain can be extremely intense. And ladies have experienced pain, because a childbirth is supposed to be amongst the top three. Some doctors say it's the top pain. So when I was in a very painful situation once, and I went to the hospital, so I was banging on the wall. The first thing the doctor said to me, it's not as bad as giving birth. My respect for ladies increased exponentially at that point. But to experience pain, because it isn't that the pain goes away just because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and at the same time, that one's consciousness and dependence doesn't waver, that requires increasing realization. And of course, in the idea, something like what sometimes what yogis do is that maybe yogis completely disassociate themselves by dint of their mystic power from the experience itself. But it's artificial. That in itself is artificial because, as Prabhupada said, you should tolerate. Krishna's giving you some pain, then accept that. It has something to do with our spiritual life, with our recognition that this body is not a good vehicle to be attached to. It gives pain. This is the way of the material world, and we should learn how to move on from that. And that ultimately we also have some karma to burn up. And one way of burning that up by Krishna's arrangement is a certain degree of suffering or inconvenience. So getting away from it is a form of escapism, and it's contrary to the principle of Krishna consciousness. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. In this case, jnana means that one wants to be free from suffering in the material world. But a devotee is willing to accept that suffering. Narayana parasarve nakutaschana bibhyati. So svarga, apavarga, whatever difficult situation one finds himself, then devotee is willing to accept that. Salavi. But the basis, the function of the working basis needs to be this increasing awareness and cultivation, then one is not this body, because ultimately our whole culture, our whole spiritual culture is based just on that very same thing. It's based on the idea that we're meant for spiritual cultivation, spiritual development, as opposed to economic development, as opposed to sense gratification. And they're based on two different concepts. Economic development, sense gratification especially, is based on a bodily identity or bodily identification, or at least great attachment. Because you can see people who say, I'm not this body, but it sure doesn't look like you're behaving like that. You're really behaving like you're this body. Why? Because I may know that, but still the attachment remains very strong. There isn't a suitable cultivation that purifies the heart from that type of attachment. And knowledge is good, but knowledge, jnana, only becomes bigyan by the purification of heart, which frees one from the attachments that come due to being in this body, due to connecting with this matter. The material world is very convincing. It's a very, very convincing place. And this material body, this identity is very convincing. Just like when you walk outside in the world out there, it's also very convincing that this is reality, this is going on forever, and it'll just go from strength to strength. But it's not. And why is it? Why is that illusion so strong? Because Bhagavatam begins by saying it's the reflection of reality. So when you look at a reflection of an apple in a mirror, it really looks real. It doesn't have certain characteristics that reality has. You can neither taste it, you can't smell it, but it sure looks real. So tejo vidam yatra vinimaya yatra tisarga amrisha. So first verse says that this material world is actually a reflection of the spiritual world, and because that's the absolute reality, this also looks very, very real. And not only does it look very real, but there are certain energies that convince us that it's very real, and that's Krishna's illusory potencies. So illusion is to think that this is the ultimate reality, as opposed to it being just simply a temporary reality or a reflection of the reality. So Maivadis have this concept, this idea of Paribimbabad, which is that the material world is actually just a reflection of reality and therefore it's not real. Reflection is a real thing. Otherwise, how can it... Reflection in itself doesn't have an independent identity, but it certainly exists. So your reflection in the mirror exists. But it's dependent on something else. It has its origins. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, both with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati, brought up this point, this sort of misconception of what the world is and what the body is, that all of these are both energies of Krishna. And you can't say that this is an illusion, because then you're saying that's also an illusion. This is real, because that's also real. So this is, and we see that this very fundamental principle is something that Srila Prabhupada emphasized, and that here we are in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We're halfway through the Bhagavatam, and it keeps coming up, and keeps coming up. Because unless this is here, then what happens? He becomes too attached. Unless knowledge is there, then one has the knowledge, and then one has the determination. Let me now live a life that's based on my being a spirit soul, not being a material body. And of course, there's also sort of transition, or sometimes you could say a gray area between the two. That's why we say anya abhilasita shunyam. Pure devotion means that I function and act as if I'm a servant of Krishna. And I simply act for Krishna's pleasure. And material life means, karma means that I'm acting as if I'm this body. Someone may have this knowledge, but still, karma mishra bhakti, it may be mixed. The concept of devotion is still mixed because the attachment is strong. So people make concession. The attachment is strong that I should enjoy in this world, that devotional service is meant to facilitate enjoyment. Or if it's not meant to facilitate enjoyment, a step better is that there should be some enjoyment because we shouldn't be too fanatical. And a certain level of enjoyment is there. And then ultimately, the idea is that, no, only Krishna's enjoyment is what really counts. So because of attachment to the body and its byproducts, then how do you know? Prabhupada gives this verse. Savai punksa paro dharma. Oh, I was going to say a verse that comes before or after. Vasudeva bhagavati bhakta yogi priyojita janayati ashu vairagyam gyanam chaya dahoitakam. How do you know whether our knowledge of spiritual identity is really maturing and progressing? Because the detachment should be there. Vairagya should be there. And if vairagya is not there, then and it's not increasing, but rather attachment remains very firm, attachment to family, society, and nation, then the cultivation or the purification isn't really taking place in the proper way. Knowledge is not maturing. Just like in Hungary, I've got seeds, mango seeds, and we have in the temple room a beautiful from Siddhabaku, from the actual originally Siddhabaku in Puri. We have a tree, but it's out of its environment. And so although the tree grows, and the mango tree grows, but it doesn't give any mangoes. So similarly, when although the seed may be there, but if the seed is not being cultivated in the proper environment, then actually it won't give the fruit. And you can also see that here. When we had Chaitanya College, then we were told that in days of yore, back in days of the Earl of Coventry, then they used to grow pineapples and all kinds of other things in the walled garden because they would replicate the same type of environment. The walled garden, I don't know, well, you must have been there because they have these programs once a year. It had this wall down the middle, aside from having a 10-foot-high wall all around. It had a wall down the middle, and that wall was heated. It was a heated wall. And so between having the wall and also having that heated wall in the middle, for those plants that were in the immediate area, they were able to thrive in an environment that would be, I guess, conducive for growing those things. And of course, they also had greenhouse. And greenhouse is where you really replicate an environment. But that's a thing that everyone may experience for themselves. It's a subjective thing. For it, one needs to be very honest. Ihayasya harirdasya karmana manasa gira. So in one's activities, one's words, one's mind, everything is engaged in Krishna's service. That's a good sign because it's the process of purification. Body, easier. Words, yeah, especially if you like to talk a lot. But mind, that then becomes quite difficult. This is where I come in with Manashiksha. Because I'm going to say just a few words about Urmila Devi Dasi's Manashiksha book, beautiful Manashiksha book, which is out there now, which is out there also available for sale. But mind, I don't know if you have experience, but yesterday when we came here, I was thinking, this mind is a really amazing phenomenon. Yesterday we were having these debates with very, very lively, interesting debates with Pandava Sen, and so last night I had trouble going to sleep last night because it was near Jalakadasi. So I drank, but no eating. And when you don't eat, when you don't sleep, it's very good, and you feel good. You feel fresh and lively. Who followed Nirjalakadasi? I asked yesterday. Wow, well, that's good for your health to not to drink. Very good. And who just didn't eat? Okay. But finally, when I went to sleep, I had this dream, and it was me and this scorpion. And all of the arguments that I was arguing about with yesterday, this scorpion was giving all these arguments, and you know, scorpions, they have their tails up, and he had his tail up like that as if he was going to sting me. And finally, at the end of the dream, I whacked him. I woke up and said, what an amazing thing. Mind just makes all this up. And I mean, I'm sure everyone's got lots and lots of stories about what the mind can do. So controlling this mind is very, very difficult. And ultimately, becoming free from bodily identification is only possible when you engage the mind in Krishna's service, control the mind, and also become free from identifying with your mind. Because body is one thing, but I think this, so what? That's your mind, what you're thinking. And why do you identify with what you're thinking? If you're thinking something very good, then we'll examine it with our intelligence, and we may see that this is something of asset. But I think. And Prabhupada was so much onto this, I think. Who cares what you think? It's important what Krishna thinks, because what Krishna thinks is the absolute truth. What we think is just a product of our conditioning. So what? So what do we think? If you see this book outside, this Manashiksha. So Raghunath Das Goswami wrote wrote this book. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives a list of five books, yeah, that one should study. Manashiksha is one, Vilapka Sumanjali is also out there, that's another. And these are books according to one for progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness, one should regularly hear. I was also told that at a certain point in Gaudiya Math, Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur had his disciples regularly studying Manashiksha, which is not a big book, you know, because it's only 11 verses. But as with everything in Krishna consciousness, they have real, real deep meanings. So giving instructions to your mind. Similarly, we have Manasa Dehoge. No. What is that song? Not Manasa, the other one about Bajahure Mana Shinandanandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare. So instructions to the mind in itself is quite interesting because it's a sort of a psychological practice. Well, talk to yourself. And that's what you're doing, giving instructions to the mind. Of course, the instructions are coming from where? Instructions are coming from the transcendental realm. They teach us how to regulate our mind so that when our mind does come up with different ideas for sense enjoyment, which will reinforce our bodily identification, then we know, is this good? Is this not good? Why we shouldn't do this? What alternative we should practice, and different stages of Krishna consciousness. And you'll find in this book, Raghunath Das Goswami starts with very beginning, nadharmam nadharmam shrutigam nirukta kuru. So Krishna says, sarvadharmam parityaja. So he starts with the very basics of spiritual life and sense control, mind control. Although even as he progresses, he keeps coming up with this dumbam, with this duplicity and hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite even as you're advancing in spiritual life and Krishna consciousness. Learning how to control the mind, certainly by studying the process of Manashiksha, instructions to the mind, which Raghunath Das Goswami does, helps us to actually become free from bodily identification, which doesn't just mean this gross one. It also means the subtle one. And that's even more difficult. But they come together. But ultimately, they'll only come with purification of the heart. It's not a yogic exercise. Throw out all your thoughts. Free your mind from all thoughts. Maybe you can do it for a little while. But ultimately, why are you thinking? You're thinking because you have desires. So, and those desires are always there. It's the nature, nija dharma. Just like the nija dharma of the material world is suffering, the nija dharma of the soul is desire. You can't separate desire. Desire will always be there. But desire for what? Some desire is favorable, others is not. So bandhuratmatmanasasya jainatmaivatmanajita anatmanas tushatritve. So either it's your friend or it's your enemy. But it's a question of how we teach our mind. And that was one of our discussions yesterday, Harry Potter. Hope he doesn't get back to the authors. He's going to have a bad opinion of Hare Krishnas. But anyway, stuffing the minds of innocent children full of all kinds of things, and I mean, that's the least of it, what to speak of so many other horrible things that are being programmed, extreme violence that are being programmed into children's minds. Once it goes in, it molds and it becomes the birthplace of desire, and desire seeds start to grow again. Just from those things, and that psychiatrists have the nerve to say that seeing violence has nothing to do with children later on and people becoming aggressive. They should see a psychiatrist. Anyone who thinks like that, just how can you even think like that? The people who are bred on violence and become anesthetized to high levels of violence and so on, the gentleman wouldn't even want to see. I don't know if you did it, but I know that although I would never see monster movies or any of these things, but even when I was young, I would just close my eyes when things got a little too aggressive. Now this is what everyone's breeding on. Everyone's thriving on these things, violence and aggression. So, worst thing I used to see was a roadrunner and what kind of coyote? Willy Coyote. Yeah. So that's really tame by comparison to what goes on now. And all of those things have an impression, and those impressions go into the mind. So, last point, and then we'll just stop. Devotees like to make any further comments or questions. Therefore, one has to be very careful. If we really want to advance in spiritual life, you have to be very careful as to what you put in your mind. And what you put in your mind means what you hear, what you see, because things such as movies, television, you may think that they're innocent. There's nothing that's innocent. Everything is poison. Everything other than tavakatamritam, taptajivanam, anything other than Krishna katha is poison. That is, it's poison for those who are trying to advance in spiritual life. You may make compromise. Well, it's not so bad. This has some spiritual content. It's good for preaching. Let's go see the Matrix and so on. But no, it also carries a lot of other dirty baggage. And that dirty baggage gets deposited within the mind and the heart. So here we are trying to clean our hearts, and at the same time, we put other things in it. It becomes a lose-lose situation. We're losing out. We're losing out materially because we're not planning to become great materialists, and losing out spiritually because we're putting so much other new garbage into our minds and senses. So it is spiritual life, and therefore vairagya, detachment. Detachment has to be there. But jnana vairagya, so, and as Sarvam Bhattacharya says, vairagya vidyara nija bhakti yoga, this is bhakti yoga, vairagya and vidya. Shikshashtamekam purusha purana. Since time immemorial, this is always the case. This science of Krishna consciousness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. Two main features, vairagya and vidya. But you don't have vairagya unless you have vidya. So without studying these books, without studying Srila Prabhupada's books, one actually will not become detached. It requires very serious attention to the science of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, when you hear the words of the acharyas, then one's mind becomes illuminated. Kimba aparari swaraha sadya ridya varudyate atakritibhishushushubhishtakshana. Then the heart actually becomes purified. So it's an easy thing. Everyone knows it. We say it 100 times a day. You're not this body. But actually realizing that you're not this body requires serious discipline. It requires a certain way of life. And if you want to know about that way of life, which includes instructions to the mind, then please purchase this Manashiksha. It's a very beautiful, beautiful and very powerful book. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Ladies, gentlemen. Yeah, which I'm not so crazy about. It was spoken material is never the same as written material. I'm just going over edited work for book that we'll have out for Kartik, which is on Damodar Leela. And I write the book, then I reread it, then I reread it, then I send it off to the editor, and then I keep sending it back, SRS 1, SRS 2, SRS 3, Naaman, SRS 5. But it's a different thing when you just say something. That's why Prabhupada said you can say any old thing, but when you write it down, well, he said any damn thing. But when you write it down, it's something else. So, yeah, you tend to think things out a lot better and put a lot more time and energy into it. But what can you do? There it is.